A heated debate getting hotter. It's over a ballot question that asked whether or not we should amend the state constitution. The measure would give the state legislature the power to tax investment property to fund public education. This week, a group of UH faculty members came out in support of the proposal. They call themselves the Hawaii Scholars for Education Social Justice. The group released a research brief detailing the underfunding of Hawaii's public school system and how that underfunding hurts certain groups of residents more than others. Jonathan Okamura is professor of ethnic studies at the University of Hawaii Manoa and a member of the Scholars for Education and Social Justice.
70% of public school students are indigenous and ethnic minority students. The largest group are Native Hawaiians at 27%, followed by Filipino Americans 21%, some Micronesian students 7%. Then we can add Samoans, Tongans, other Pacific Islanders, Latinos, African Americans, and you come up with a figure of more than 70%. So that substantial percentage of public school students are being disadvantaged, have been disadvantaged for decades by the chronic underfunding of the public school systems. This is evident in the underrepresentation, substantial, of these students at UH Manoa. Hawaiians and Filipinos represented a little more than half among undergraduates at UH Manoa. This, to me, clearly indicates the deficient quality of the education provided to those students. They don't continue in the educational pipeline to UH Manoa. That has contributed to the declining enrollment at Manoa over six consecutive years. The differential impact that the underfunding of the public school system has on minority students is not raised as an issue at all in those who express opposition to the constitutional amendment. Some of them don't even talk about students. They just talk about teachers without addressing what are the negative impacts of underfunding over the decades for the students and the differential impact, as I said, upon minority students.
Professor Okamura cited a 2005 Board of Education report that found the Department of Education would need an additional $278 million every year to provide what it called an adequate education. That figure was reexamined recently by an economist at UH West Oahu. Lawrence Boyd said he believes the department would now need an additional $297 million every year. He says raising those funds through property taxes could have a positive effect.
There's substantial economic literature that says higher property tax rates lead to lower home prices. In Hawaii, because we have low property taxes, it becomes an investment opportunity for people out of state. So the idea is if you raise that property tax rate, then the demand from out-of-state buyers will decrease and at least temper the rise in home prices, or if it's high enough, lead to decline in home prices. There's actually a concrete example of this. Vancouver has had entry of like lots of out-of-community, out-of-country buyers for their real estate market. It's actually driven up single-family home prices in Vancouver, at least up to 3 years ago, to where when you take into account the difference in the Canadian dollar, they were almost identical to Hawaii. But they correctly targeted what was driving prices. They increased the property tax rate and it was targeted towards these out-of-community buyers. And the result was in the first year of the program, home prices declined slightly, but basically over the couple of years, it has flattened the rate of home price, the rate in the rise of home prices in Vancouver.
Both Lawrence Boyd and Professor Okamura agreed that addressing the high teacher turnover should be the first focus of any additional funding. Boyd said that a clear solution to that problem in the private sector.
When the private sector has this problem, they address it with higher wages. For example, Henry Ford, at the start of his enterprise in 1914, had to hire 52,000 workers to keep 14,000 employees working in his manufacturing plant. So he doubled the salary and reduced the work time from 9 hours to 8 hours. The knock-on effects of that was there were increased productivity. They didn't have to spend as much on recruitment. And so the price of a Model T actually fell by half over the next 10 years. Now, then the next example is the modern one. Walmart was having a similar turnover problem. They couldn't keep their employees. So they raised every employee who was averaging, associate who was averaging $9 an hour to $14 an hour. And that problem was solved. Most recently, Amazon raised all of their employees' minimum wage from around $10 to $15, a 33% increase. If you have a high turnover rate, you're not going to effectively do the job, produce the things you need to do, whether it be education, cars, or selling Walmart goods.
Now, all four county mayors oppose the measure. The county councils are now raising their voices. The Big Island's Tim Richards is a member of the Hawaii State Association of Counties.
This is actually not a conversation about the need of funding for public education. Everybody agrees that we need more funding for public education. Where the question comes is, what's the vehicle actually going to be? And that's where the disagreement comes. So first, I want to get off the table. Hawaii County, like everyone else, we strongly support the need for more funding to public education. As far as where we're coming from, the use of real property tax, which for the Hawaii County is about 3/4 of our income stream for our county, we don't support it. As written, the legislation is so vague, it's kind of a wide open potential for legislation that could come forth that, again, with no parameters around it, no idea of how things are going to function, this really deeply concerns me as a councilman, as well as I know some of the other members on the council. And again, we haven't discussed this per se because it hasn't come before us, but there's very strong feelings that this is our funding mechanism for our county. And without that funding and complete oversight of that funding, we're deeply concerned if it impacts us. We're talking about a state function, and this is our county revenue source. So there's other ways to get funding from the state, not through our real property. And, you know, if we want to look at it and talk about the county of Hawaii as it stands right now, we've been through quite a bit this year. It's not 2018. It's not been a great year for us. We've had one after another natural disasters. Kauai has had some issues with that as well. The amount of damage we're trying to deal with is huge. Even the flooding from the rainfall from Hurricane Lane, we're still dealing with that. Estimates are 20 million plus of the damages we have to compensate with that. We've lost homes because of the lava inundation. The number sits around 700. We're told maybe another 300 are uninhabitable. And I bring that up because that also figures into our real property tax collections. We had to implement a 0.25% GE tax surcharge to balance our budget just to get through this next year. The concept of having any further impact on that real property tax, deeply concerning for us. I come back to the fact that we have one of the highest tax burdens in the nation here in Hawaii. It's not just real property. It's the GE tax. It's everything else. And so adding more tax does affect our people. And again, coming back for the Big Island, our economy is taking it pretty hard. We don't need to assign more taxing to our constituents. Like I said, this is not the right vehicle to get funding for public schools.
The nonpartisan but conservative-leaning think tank Grassroot Institute of Hawaii is also against the amendment question, but for different reasons. Joe Kent is vice president of research.
The Grassroot Institute of Hawaii does not support the tax proposal because it doesn't say it's a tax. This is probably the most significant tax proposal that voters would ever have a say on in the state, and it doesn't say it's a tax. So that's just misinformation, and we're for a clear, transparent, and accurate question. If it said that it was a tax increase specifically, then that would clarify it enough for us to have more of a balanced position. But, you know, our democracy relies on an informed electorate. And if this doesn't say that it's a tax, then that's misinformation and perhaps unconstitutional. Hawaii's constitution says that ballot questions like this have to be clear, transparent, and accurate. And that's all we're calling for.
The Grassroot Institute has joined the Hawaii Tax Foundation in the county's lawsuit before the Hawaii Supreme Court to try and invalidate the ballot question. The hearing is set for October 18th, around the same time that the Office of Elections begins mailing out absentee ballots.